a blessed people.
Amen.
We live in a great blessed nation. We praise the Lord for it, and praise the Lord for those who have served. Of course, we know we're on the hills of Memorial Day here, and we praise the Lord for those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for the freedom that you and I enjoy this morning, sitting in a church house, being able to worship our Lord and Savior. And we thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for those men and women that have given their life for our freedom. And for that, I want you to turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter number 25. Go ahead and go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. It is good to have some visitors this morning. We trust you'll get a blessing from being here. Matthew chapter number 26 this morning. And I want to begin reading verse number 6. If you're there with me, say amen. It's good to say amen. I told a lady back there earlier this morning, I said, I was encouraging the young man back there shaking. I like the way he shakes hands. He was shaking hands. You know, he one of those like that right there. And I mean, he was very fervently shaking my hand. I said, praise the Lord, man, I like that. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And I said, man, every now and then, I told someone, I said, pinchy kid or something, praise God, shout, do something. You know, somebody was apologizing the other day about their child, and I said, listen, every now and then, I that's fine. I'd rather hear somebody scream or yell, or say, even if they do it for the wrong reason, you know. Let's act. It's all right. We're in the house of God. It's okay to have fun and to worship and glorify. We serve the only great Savior in the whole entire world. And so, praise the Lord. All right, if you're there with me in verse number 6, let's read. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in this she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that while we were yet unlovely, yet you still loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We come to you this morning, Lord, asking for help. I pray, Lord, that you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. I pray, Lord, that everything that needs to be said, you'd help me to say, and Lord, that you'd prevent me from saying anything that does not need to be said. Pray above all things this morning that the name of Christ would be lifted up in this place. Holy Spirit of God, thou art invited. We ask you to roam up and down these aisles, and Lord, speak to the hearers this morning, and that, Lord, that we'd not be hearers only, but that we would heed the word of God. And then when we leave, help us not to leave only challenged, but God, we pray you'd help us to leave changed. We'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look with me again this morning at verse number 13. The Bible says, Jesus says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, and then watch these words, be told for a memorial of her. I want to preach this morning, the help of God, for the next few moments on this thought, what will your memorial be? What will your memorial be? I want to say, as I've already said, that I appreciate so much all of those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate price for our freedom. And I want you to understand, our history books are full of stories of courageous men and women whose lives will ever be characterized by bravery, by honor, and by sacrifice, and they'll be remembered for those things. But what will your memorial be? In other words, what will you be remembered by? At the end of it all, when the story of your life is told, when the legacy of your existence has been written, what will be your memorial? Because you see, the truth of the matter is, this morning, every one of us will leave some kind of a memorial. All of us will leave some mark on this world. In other words, some significant thing about our life and about our character and about who we were. There'll be something that sticks out about me. There'll be something that sticks out about you that defines us, and everyone will remember us by that particular thing. I could say the name this morning of some famous people, and immediately something specific would come to mind if I said those names. I could say a name this morning like Bob Barker. Some of you already seen him on the platform there with the microphone and the big wheel behind him. The Price is Right. And Bob Barker's made a name. He's made a memorial with his life of being a game show host. I could say the name this morning, Michael Jordan. And every one of you know Michael Jordan, of course, spent his life building a legacy with basketball. We could say the name Ronald Reagan, Johnny Carson. These names, they bring back. There's something we remember about those people. We mention those names. I want you to understand, it doesn't just have to be famous people. All of you, us have a grandmother, a grandfather, or somebody that we love that's already went on and passed into eternity, and they've left a memorial in your heart. Many of you have somebody that you think of them, and you think of how loving they were, how kind they were, or how godly they were, or whatever the case is. Caitlin was talking about her papa not long, just a few days ago, and how he used to take her to Sonic and do this and that, and how he loved her unconditionally, and those kinds of things. I'm simply saying that all of us have stories of somebody that we know and we love. Just think about the people in this story, this passage of Scripture. All of them have a memorial. Think about Martha. When we think about Martha, you think automatically busy. When we think about Martha and her service and everything she did with her life, we think about the fact that she was always busy. Some people's memorial will be that they were always busy. I fight that. Many of you fight that. That they were always busy. I heard or read something this past week that a little boy had written a letter at school or something and said that his mom's phone, he wished his mom's phone had never been invented. Some people's memorial will be that they were always busy. They were always preoccupied with something else. Think about not only Martha in this story, think about Lazarus. Now, one of the things that's known about him is that he was the brother of Mary and Martha, and they were very protective of him. But when you think of Lazarus, you think of one who came back from the dead. And my, can I tell you, that's a memorial. Literally, that's a living memorial. Every time they seen Lazarus, they thought, man, that's the fellow that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He came forth, and the grave clothes and all that. He had a memorial. But then think about Judas. Now, Judas is in this story. He's not in this passage. He is just under the disciples. But we'll see later on in another passage, Judas is involved in this story. He's there with the disciples. Think about his memorial. You think about Judas, you think of somebody that's a thief. You think of a Christ denier. You think of a deceiver. You think of someone who committed suicide and whose life did not end very well. So much potential. Walk closer to Jesus Christ than anybody else. He was there with the other disciples. Yet it didn't end well. I wouldn't want Judas's memorial. I wouldn't want to be remembered as a counterfeit Christian. I wouldn't want to be remembered as one who betrayed Christ and denied Christ and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And the truth is, there are many that they have that as their memorial. Because they've betrayed Christ, they've turned their back on him by walking away from his calling on their life. There are many men and women alike, but especially men even. There are men that ought to be in pulpits this morning, but instead they've gotten caught up out in the world. Many aren't even serving God anymore. There are many others that have failed in their calling by way of immorality, or maybe they were pastoring, or maybe they were on the mission field or whatever, but they failed and they betrayed Christ. They betrayed their calling because of something in their life. We think of Judas and his betrayal. Martha had a memorial. Judas had a memorial. And then I think of Mary. The Bible says here in verse number 13 that this great act of love which she had done, that it would be told for a memorial of her. And this morning, when we think of Mary, of Bethany, you automatically think about her great love for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think of Mary, you think about the one who always was sitting at the feet of Jesus. When you think of Mary, you think of that one who's taken, the Bible tells us over in John 12 that she anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And you think about one that was had a love and a devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's her memorial. Mary's remembered that way. And so while Martha was busy serving, while Judas was busy betraying, while Michael Jordan has spent his life playing basketball, and Bob Barker has spent his life in Hollywood, and Ronald Reagan spent much of his life in politics, Mary spent her life at the feet of Jesus, worshiping, honoring, and praising God. And I got to say this morning, I don't know of any greater memorial than that. You know, we got a couple young people that's fixing to head off down to college, and they're going to build a memorial. They're going to build a legacy. They're going to write a chapter in history with their life. The greatest memorial you can leave is what we see in Mary's life this morning. Somebody that's spent their life serving and worshiping, honoring, and praising the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, the Bible says the primary duty of man is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. And so I pray this morning that we'll just take a step back and take an honest look at the life we're living and at the legacy we're leaving and ask with an honest heart, what will my memorial be? You understand that we all have one. As we look at this passage this morning, I want to take a little deeper look in Mary's life and take a little deeper look at her, this memorial that she left that Jesus said was so great it would be spoken of throughout the entire world. You understand that? She left a legacy, a memorial that would be spoken out and has been throughout the entire world. The first thing we see as we begin to look at this passage, first of all, notice a selfless devotion. A selfless devotion. Look with me at verse number 7 this morning. The Bible says, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now, as we've just mentioned, that Mary had a great love and a great devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice a couple specific things about this devotion that she had. Notice, first of all, the place of her devotion. The place of her devotion. Understand, Mary is not in the church house. Church house is a good place to be devoted to God. Mary is not in the church house, but Mary is in her home. Oh yes, she's at the home. Notice first of all the identity of the home. Look at verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, watch this, in the house of Simon the leper. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Simon the leper, but we know something about this home. Because you see, this was also the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And so we know it has a track record of being a place that always welcomed, always loved, and always honored the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, this was a home, this home in Bethany, that the Lord had visited many, many times. This was a place where he had been welcomed many times, where he had shared meals many times. Oh yes, this was a favorite place for him to frequent. Jesus didn't get around Bethany too often times that he didn't have to slip over and somehow have some fellowship and come by this home where Mary lived. Seems any time he got around there, he wanted to drop in on this home. Can I just say this morning, I want to have the kind of home where Jesus wants to drop in on. I want to have the kind of home where he's loved and he's honored and he's welcomed. And listen, he still loves to visit those kinds of homes. Just a place where, man, he said, man, I like going over to that place. They love me. They honor me. They worship. There's a good spirit in that home. This was the same home in Bethany where Jesus did some wonderful miracles. This was a home where Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. This was the home that had experienced some wonderful blessings by the Lord. I want to say this morning, if the Lord isn't blessing your home, if you're not seeing some wonderful blessings, maybe your home needs some of what this home has, some love, some honor, and some respect for the Lord Jesus Christ, a welcoming attitude in your home for the things of God. Maybe if your home had some of what this home had, we'd be seeing some blessings and more blessings. Listen, this morning, I'm not preaching health, wealth, and fame, but I believe the Bible still says, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. For who? For those who God, the Bible said, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that loves Him. Those that show the Lord, they love Him. Those that have a track record of always welcoming Him. They have a track record of always honoring Him. That's who the Bible says, eyes not seen nor ear heard, neither is entered in the heart of man the things He's prepared for those that love Him. Mary, as well as her home, had a great love for the Lord. We see the identity of her home. Notice the influence in the home. Don't you understand, Mary lived her faith in the home. She wasn't just a Sunday morning only Christian. Can I tell you this morning, I want to help somebody. The problem with a lot of people and the reason many parents have to fight with their children to get them to come to church is because they see you how you act on Monday. Watch this now. The reason many times that children come to a place in their life where they don't want to go to church, don't want to care anything about the house of God or the people of God or the work of God is because they see their parents come to church and they're waving the hand and they're shouting the amens and then they're living a different way on Monday. The reason some wives don't come to church, the reason some husbands don't come to church is because they know the person you are on Monday. Now all of us are sinners. None of us are perfect, no doubt about that. But listen, I'm simply saying that when we come in and worship and honor the Lord here, but then we go home and we dishonor the Lord with our life, they don't want anything to do with that. Do you understand there's a difference in reputation and in character? Reputation is what those people who really don't know you think about you, but character is who you really are, and those who live with you know the difference. They know the difference. Amen. Getting quiet in here. Hey, listen. The reason Mary had such a wonderful memorial that's been spoken about her still today is because she lived it not only in the church house, but Mary lived it in her house. Her devotion to the Lord never wavered, even at home. We see the place of her devotion. I got to move on. Notice the second thing, the price of her devotion. Look with me at verse number 7. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious, the Bible says, very precious ointment. Poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Mark tells us in 14 and verse number 3 that this precious ointment was a substance called spikenard. Now spikenard was a strong, sweet-smelling ointment made up of myrrh and nard. It was something found in Syria and India and in the Himalayas, and it was very expensive, and it cost a whole lot of money to transport this spikenard all over and import this even to somewhere like Israel. And so in John 12, the Bible tells us that it was expensive to the point that it could have been sold for 300 pence. Now the Greek word for pence is denarius or denarios. One denarius was a day's wage for the average worker. So they'd make one denarios per day. What that tells us then is this was nearly a year's worth of ointment that she poured out over the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I got to tell you, I've given some pretty large offerings. I mean, one Sunday I gave my entire paycheck. We had to give all offering. Before I was here, I had to give all offering. I turned it, signed it over, and gave my entire paycheck. Back when, years ago, when I was in the mortgage business, I had some offerings with 3 and sometimes 4 zeros on the end of it. Listen, but I've never given a year's wages in offering. The price she paid. The problem with our Western Christianity today is we want a religion that doesn't cost us anything. But I agree with what one Bible commentator said. He said a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to serve Him, if you're going to have a devotion for Him, listen, it's going to cost you something. After all, it was Jesus Himself that said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That sounds like it's going to cost me something. In fact, that sounds like it's going to cost me everything. Take up his cross. Deny himself. Follow me. Oh, yes. You're not going to be devoted and truly love the Lord and truly serve the Lord without it costing you something. The devotion to Christ, if you have one, it's going to cost you something. but the benefit far outweighs the cost. Mary has a memorial of giving it all, the place of her devotion, the price of her devotion. Notice the third thing, the picture of her devotion. Look at verse number 12. For in that she poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. In other words, Jesus says here, he makes a statement, watch this. He said, she did it for my burial. That's the reason Mary did it. And so I want you to understand, in other words, when Mary poured out this ointment on the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a picture, it was proof positive that she believed he was who he said he was. That she believed he came to do what he said he came to do. She believed in his death, and she believed that he was fixing to die. You see, in those days, a dead body was wrapped in linen. And then expensive ointment was poured out over their body. And now, of course, we embalm people, and they're filled with embalming fluid. But in those days, in order to prepare the body for burial, they would pour this ointment over the body. And when Mary poured that ointment over Christ, she showed that she believed that he was fixing to die. Just like he said. Can I just say, if you're going to have a real devotion for Christ, you're going to have to believe him. If you're going to have, listen, I want to be somebody that's remembered. That's somebody that really believed God. That's somebody that really had faith in his word. And it showed by his actions. You see, talk's cheap. But Mary believed it to the point that she brought the very best that she had and poured it out over the body of the Lord Jesus. She had that much faith. She had that much belief. I want someone at the end of it all, I want to be remembered by somebody that believed God. That would say he was a man of faith. He wasn't afraid to risk it all to take Jesus at his word. Believe the Lord. We see a selfless devotion. Notice the second thing in our text, a selfish desire. You see, while there's one in our text, Mary, who had a selfless devotion, there were others here that had selfish desires. Notice first of all the critics. Look with me at verse number 8. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Who are the critics? Well, the Bible says here is the disciples. Now we'll narrow it on down a little more in a moment. You might be surprised when you read this that it wasn't the Pharisees that was opposing Mary. It was not the Sadducees that was opposing Mary. It wasn't the agnostics or the atheists. It wasn't anybody else. It was, in fact, her very own brethren. It was, the Bible says, the disciples. Now, I want you to listen to me. If you serve God very long, you're going to tragically learn a truth. And that truth is this, that your worst opposition won't come from the ungodly, unsaved world. Oh, certainly there's going to be times that they will oppose us and they'll mock the church, and no doubt they're doing that even today, and they're going to oppose the people of God. But you hear me this morning, I'm talking about your worst critics and your worst opposition. Listen, most of the time, the greatest opposition comes from within. Comes from those people you love. Comes from those people that you serve beside. If anyone should have supported her and encouraged her for having such great love, for having such great devotion, it should have been her fellow brethren. But instead they criticize when they should have been complimenting. The thing that's keeping more churches from expressing a greater devotion to the Lord, whether it be to expand their ministry, whether it be to build a new building, or to start a new work, the one keeping most churches from doing this, it's not the world's crowd, it's God's crowd. Some board, some committee, instead of following the leadership of their pastor, that leader, they instead oppose or criticize any work for moving ahead. I thank the Lord that we have some people here that's not an issue. And I'll tell you, I see the Lord blessing because of it. You know, it's the same thing as an individual. You step out with a selfless desire to do something for God or to give something to the Lord, that you want to show your devotion for Him, and somebody will all of a sudden become worried about you. Oh, yes. You're going to find, it's been amazing to me throughout my life. You step out and start serving God and start really giving your all and really being sold out to the Lord, and all of a sudden somebody's going to get concerned about you. Well, I know we ought to give to God, but I'm just concerned. I'm worried about you and your family. I know things are tight. Well, I know you love serving the Lord, but I just don't want you to burn out. I can't tell you how many times I've had people tell me that. I know you love the Lord and we ought to serve the Lord. I just don't want you to burn out. No, you want me to quit because it's convicting you, because this is what you ought to be doing. Listen to me. I'm telling you something. The greatest opposition, the critics, is from within. Then notice the criticism. Look with me again at verse 8. When the disciples saw it, they had indignation, jealousy, saying, to what purpose is this waste? First of all, I want you to notice their manner was rude. Their manner was rude. You see, when people oppose you, they seldomly keep it to themselves. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When they oppose you, they don't keep it to themselves, but eventually it always comes out, and usually it comes out in some kind of loud, outspoken way, and they don't care who's around, how many churches have been torn apart because somebody had to voice their opposition in the middle of some business meeting or something like that. There's a time and a place for everything. These disciples were guests in somebody else's home. Listen, yet they begin to criticize Mary's worship and devotion for the Lord in her own home. They were rude in their manner. Criticism's never very pretty, especially with those who oppose the work of God and oppose the worship of God. Their manner was rude. Notice the second thing about their criticism. Their motive was robbery. Verse 9, they say, why has this ointment been, said it could have been sold and given to the poor? Go with me quickly. Hold your place here. Go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Their manner was rude. Their motive was robbery. Look with me starting in verse number 4. Now, of course, verse 3, she takes a spikenard, very costly, anoints the feet of Jesus. Verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. Now, we're getting right down to who it is. Not only the disciples, but Judas is the main player. Simon's son, which should betray him. Verse 5, here's what it says. Was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And then we're told why. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bear what was therein. You see, all this was, you begin to dig into their criticism, it was self-serving. Watch this now. What you're going to find, if you'll really pay attention, that what you're going to find is that most criticism is self-serving. Most criticism in some way serves the person who's criticizing. Either they're trying to make this person look bad so they can look good, or in some way it's serving them. When you begin to dig into this criticism, they said, oh, well, this could have been sold and given to the poor. It was nothing but an excuse to cover up the fact that they wanted some of the money. You see this kind of thing every day in our political system. Politicians get up and talk about the poor and what needs to be done for the poor, but they have an ulterior motive. You see, they're looking for votes. They don't care anything about the poor. Most criticism, listen to me, in opposition is self-serving in some way. It's not to help the situation at hand. It's not to help others. It's to help themselves. Their manner was rude. Their motive was robbery. Notice the third thing. Their message was reckless. Now, this is the most eye-opening thing to me. This is the most just really standing in awe kind of thing to me. Notice verse 8 again, back in our text of Matthew chapter 26. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, watch what they say, to what purpose is this waste? You see what they call this? The great sacrificial act of Mary that's still being spoken out throughout the entire world was called waste. You know, you can spend thousands of dollars on a new computer, new television. You can spend hundreds of dollars on a new cell phone, a new iPad, without anybody criticizing. You can go buy a new bass boat, our new four-wheeler, our fishing rod, whatever it is. But you spend money on the church. You spend money on the work of God, and it's a waste. It's easy to see what most people places value on in this country by what they consider a waste of money. If your love and devotion causes you to give more than 10%, as many of the people in this church do, if you have a love and devotion that causes you to give more than 10%, many people will label you a fanatic. Well, that's just fanaticism. God just said 10%. We need to read your Bible first, but don't you let that cause you to waver one bit on your devotion to the Lord. Can I just say this? There's not a more noble cause in this world that you can spend your time on, that you can spend your attention on, that you can spend your money on than the things of God. You give what you have to the Lord and it'll never be wasted, but instead you'll always get back more in one way or another than you ever gave. It's not a waste. Selfless devotion, we see a selfish desire. Notice the third thing, a stunning declaration. Verse 13 again, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. The stunning declaration. This woman, Mary, is praised for her devotion. I want you to notice, first of all, the source of her praise. Notice it again at the beginning of this verse. Verily, you've got a red letter edition Bible, you already know who's speaking. Verily, I say unto you. This praise, watch this, this praise came from the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said the most important thing about you is what you think about God. Now, at first glance, that sounds pretty good. But I thought about that for a few minutes, and I thought, you know, I have to disagree. The most important thing about me is not what I think about God, but the most important thing about me is what God thinks about me. And we see here Jesus is the one that gave the praise. Now I want to say it's a wonderful thing when someone praises you, maybe a parent, maybe a boss, maybe a teacher, maybe some other Christian. We all like to get a pat on the back every now and then. Nothing wrong with that. We're to encourage one another. The Bible tells us that. And it's one thing when somebody else praises you, but it's an entirely different thing when the good God of heaven praises you. Who'd rather have God praise you? Our main goal is to hear our Lord say, at the end of it all, well done, thou good and faithful servant. All throughout Scripture, we see people who left a legacy. Paul left the testimony of a good legacy. Well, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. But don't you understand something? You read that and begin to think about it. It was Paul himself that made that statement, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And praise the Lord for it. I believe Paul was honest. I believe he was worthy of the statement he made. And I hope I can honestly say when it's my time to go, I can say that very same thing. But in our text this morning, understand, it's not Mary that makes the statement, she hath wrought a good work on me. It's not someone else that makes the statement, she hath wrought a good work on me. In fact, it's just the opposite. The others were criticizing her for it, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ that makes the statement, she hath wrought a good work on me. I don't know about you, but when the big bell rings, when the trumpet sounds, when it's all over, at the end of it all, while I hope that my wife can say some positive things about me, while I hope my children can say some positive things about me, while I hope the church can say some positive things about me, more than anything else, my desire is that my Savior would say some good things about me. Jesus said, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you. The source of her praise was not herself. It wasn't from others, but it was from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we can say plenty of good things about ourselves, right? I'm telling you, hey, we can say plenty of good things about our children, right? We brag on our kids, quit. We can say plenty of good things about ourselves. You know, I mean, where the Bible says that the way it seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says that all things are clean in a man's eyes. All of his ways are clean in his own eyes. And so left up to us, we're always right. I mean, we got some good things we can say about us. Plenty of good things. I don't cuss. I don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't chew. And I don't run around with the girls that do. I mean, I'm a pretty good person. Right? We can say some good things about ourselves. But it's a different thing altogether when the one who knows you even better than you know yourself is praising you and bragging you on you and saying of you, she hath wrought a good work upon me. Understand, Mary was criticized by the disciples. Even she was criticized by her sister Martha. You'll remember, even Martha criticized her devotion to the Lord, and maybe she's taking it too seriously. But she was magnified and praised by Christ. The source of the praise. Notice the second thing, the site of the praise. Now, this site of the praise encompasses two places in verse 13 again. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also be this that this woman hath done. It'll be told for a memorial of her. The Bible says the whole world, the globe, first of all. The site of the praise was the globe, the whole world. Listen, God can take your good deed toward Him, that thing that you'd done in secret, and magnify it as well as magnify you in front of the entire world. The Bible still says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The Bible still says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and in due time He will lift you up. This was simply something that Mary did. It was just an act of her love that she did in the devotion of her love that she did in her own home with just a few people present. Listen, but the record of it has went out through the entire world. Oh, truly, you make much of Christ, and He'll make much of you. It was something she did in private, but it went out throughout the entire world. The praise of Mary's love and devotion for our Lord and Savior has been magnified throughout the entire world. Would to God our devotion for our Lord, our love for our Lord, that it would be used as an example. It would be so great that it would be used as an example for the entire world to see. The sight of her praise included not only the globe, notice the second thing, but the gospel. The Bible says here, wherever the gospel is preached, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached. Do you understand this? Mary's praise was made a part of the infallible, impeccable, inexhaustible, perfect Word of God. Mary had no idea when she did this great work for the Lord and brought this precious offering for the Lord that it would be recorded and printed among the most precious words that have ever been spoken in the most popular book that's ever been written and ever been sold, the very Word of God. Listen, her praise was not in the news media. Bill Stern, the great sportscaster of years gone by, he said this. He said, nothing fades faster than a sports headline. You know, it's always changing. Mary's praise wasn't part of the news media that's here today and that's gone tomorrow, but it was placed in the eternal Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says throughout the entire world, this would be told as a memorial for her. Mary's love for Christ made a lasting name for her. Her life and legacy is one that was saturated by love and honor and by devotion for her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what about you? About me? What will your memorial be? You know, Peter had a memorial of denying Christ. Oh, I know, later on he got it right, but he had a memorial of denying Christ. Judas had a memorial of betraying Christ. The other disciples had a memorial of leaving and forsaking Christ. You'll remember there, he's headed to the cross. The Bible says, and all they forsook him and fled. But what will your memorial be? Will you be remembered as always being a critic? Just somebody who's good. You know those people. You know, when I talk about criticism or somebody being critical or critical spirit, there's somebody pops into your head. What's your memorial? What will it be? Will you be one that's just always criticizing the work of God, always criticizing the people of God? Will you be remembered as someone being too busy for the Lord's work, too busy for your family, Too busy for your friends. Too busy for your... Will you be somebody that's too busy for your children? Will you be remembered for being somebody that considers giving sacrificially to the Lord a waste? Just a tight wad and always worried about every dollar what you're giving? Or will you be remembered as somebody who always tried to give and help out a worthy cause like the work of God? Will you be someone who poured out your whole life in a dedicated service to God? Will you be someone who literally, who's given the very best of your time? She brought the best that she had. Will you be that person that's given, listen a bit, don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait to give Him the rest, give Him the best. Will you be that person that's given Him the best of your time, the best of your treasures, the best of your talent, the best of your temple? Listen, Mary brought the very best that she had and she poured it out in front of the Lord Jesus, actually on the Lord Jesus, as an act of devotion and love to Him, and many considered it waste, but God called it a good work, and it's been spoken of this morning. You see, it's her memorial. But what will your memorial be? Somebody said this, the key to immortality is first living a life worth remembering. Other words, listen, if you want your legacy to live on, you're going to have to live a life worth remembering. You know, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart some things. And Daniel left a great legacy and a great memorial. He's known as one of the most noble characters in all the Bible. It didn't happen by accident. Daniel purposed in his heart some things. As we go ahead and stand this morning, maybe you just want to come in just a moment. We'll have the pianos come. Maybe you just want to come and purpose some things in your heart. Let's just stand this morning, if you will. Head bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you just want to come and purpose some things in your heart. You know, nobody leaves a great legacy by accident. Maybe somebody wants to come this morning and determine, I'm not going to be remembered as a mom who is always busy. I'm not going to remember it as a parent who is always on their telephone. Maybe some dad needs to come and determine this morning, I'm not going to be remembered as a dad who is too busy for my children, too busy for my family. I'm going to ask God to help me make the best use of my time. While she begins to play, maybe somebody wants to be remembered as someone who, like Mary, devoted their life to the Lord and was always kneeling in feet as His worship. Can I just say, being remembered as somebody who is always kneeling at the altar, always receptive to the Spirit of God, isn't a bad memorial. I want my kids to know that I was somebody that believed in the power of prayer and believed in following the Lord's wooing and leading in my life. If God spoke to you this morning, whatever it is, what will your memorial be? While we sing, why don't you come?